This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. As we begin today's session, I want to continue with our study on Yehovah Mekodeshekim, the Lord who sanctifies you. Last time that we were together, we had been discussing the importance of not only does God sanctify us, but that we also have a part in the process. We are to live our lives in such a manner as to show the world that indeed God does live within us. We are to behave in an ethical and godly manner. There are only two things that enable us to live a sanctified life: accepting the free gift of salvation and reconciliation to the Father through Yeshua, our Messiah, and by continual washing of the Word. We discovered in 2 Timothy 2:15 that it is our responsibility to study the Word and to rightly discern the Word and then apply it to our lives. The Word is a living entity, and if we truly believe and are obedient, it will change our lives. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 18, tells us what the sanctified life looks like. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you are formerly of darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness with truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For the reason it says, 'Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." In these verses, we see not only a list of do's and don't do things, but there's also a comparison between the beloved children, or those that walk in the light, and the sons of disobedience. This would be a great time to use another of our study tools, lists, or I like using a T-chart. Now remember that a T-chart is just a means of organizing events, actions, thoughts, or other items. I make my T-charts by simply drawing a line across the top of a page of blank paper. Then I add the number of columns that will correspond to the data that I want to collect and organize. In what we just read, I would have two columns. One column titled, "Children of Light, Do," and the other, "Children of Light, Do Not Do." You can continue to use the T-chart that you just created later on in this session as we continue to look at the sanctified lifestyle. This is really just an organized list, but it helps me to see things more clearly as I'm studying. So, if we were to look for things that speak about the children of light do, we would find that children of light are imitators of God. They do walk in love, just as Messiah walked in love. They should be giving thanks, and again, they walk as children of light. They should learn what pleases the Lord, and they expose deeps of darkness. Be careful how you walk. They should walk as a wise man or woman. They should make the most of their time. Now, understand what the will of the Lord is, and be filled with the Ruach, or the Spirit. They should speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody with their heart to the Lord. And they should always give thanks for all things in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, to God. They should also be subject one to another in the fear of Messiah. Now, children of the light do not do. They do not participate in immorality or impurity. There should be no greed, no filthiness or silly talk, no coarse jesting, no coveting, no idolatry, and they should not be deceived by empty words. Do not participate in deeds of darkness, and they are not foolish. They do not get drunk with wine. If these things, beloved are children of God or children of light, are not to do, then the sons of disobedience must be doing them. Each one of us need to examine our lives and pray the prayer of David in Psalms 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Are we willing to prostrate ourselves before Yehovah Mekodeshkim and pray that he search our hearts to show if there is anything wicked or ungodly within us? Then when the Ruach shows us what there is that we need to change, are we willing to do so? Are we willing to do what 1 John 1:9 tells us to do? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This does not mean to just admit that indeed we have sinned and to even name the sin, but it is to agree with God that what we have done, thought, or have not done, or thought, is sin. Then we are to confess, repent. Again, this doesn't mean just saying I'm sorry, but it's the turning away from and going in the opposite direction of what you were doing or not doing or thinking. Our pastor often tells us that if we continue to do the things that the Ruach has told us to repent of, then we need to ask ourselves a question. Have I truly repented? I want us to look at another verse. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 9. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his glory and excellence. For by these things he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. We can add what we've gleaned from this passage to our T-chart. As beloved children of God and children of light, we are to have these qualities. We are to be partakers of the divine nature. We have escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. We should apply all diligence to supply moral excellence. And in our moral excellence, we have knowledge. And in knowledge, we gain self-control. In our self-control, we develop perseverance. and in our perseverance, we develop godliness. In our godliness, we have brother kindness, and in our brother kindness, love. If these qualities are ours, we will not be useless in our knowledge of the Lord, Yeshua our Messiah, and we will not be fruitless in the knowledge of our Lord, Yeshua our Messiah. As beloved children of God and children of light, we are not to lack these qualities. If we do, we are blind and short-sighted. We have forgotten that He has purified us from our former sinful lives. Next, I want us to look at Vayikra, Leviticus, chapter 20, verses 7 through 8. You shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my statutes and practice them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Here again we see His name, the Lord who sanctifies, Yehovah Mekodeshkim. Vayikra is the book that tells us, the children of Israel, how to worship their God. Its theme is the sanctification of the people of God, a sanctification that affects the way they walk, the way they live, the way they worship. Redemption is not the end of man. Rather, it is the sanctification that prepares us for glorification. Once God's people are redeemed, as seen in Exodus or Shemot, they are to move on to sanctification, as seen in Vayikra. There can be no sanctification without redemption. However, redemption always produces sanctification to one degree or another. The death of Messiah provides for our redemption. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. This is found in Hebrews 9, verse 22. The resurrection of Yeshua, our Messiah, provides us with the ability to walk in newness of life through the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, who sets us free from the law of sin and death. Now we find this in Romans chapter 6, verses 4, and again in Romans 8, verses 2 through 4. Thus, the God that sanctified Israel is the God who sanctifies believers today. Again, we want to use our tools to look at the scripture more closely. Let's begin by asking our five W's and an H question of the text. Remember, these are the who, where, what, when, why, and how questions. According to the scriptures that we read during this session, how are believers sanctified today? We as believers in Yeshua as our Messiah are sanctified today by the blood of Yeshua and His sacrifice on the cross for our sin nature. We are set apart, consecrated, and made holy by accepting His sacrifice as our only means of reconciliation to the Father, and are sealed by the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit, as His. How was the nation and people of Israel sanctified? The nation and people of Israel were sanctified through their obedience to the instructions, or Torah, that Jehovah had given them. The Torah is often mistranslated as law. However, the word Torah, correctly translated, means instructions. Using the correct translation, it would be that the people and nation of Israel were sanctified by being obedient to Jehovah's instructions. This means His instructions on how to worship Him, how to live their lives, and how they were to treat others. What parts of your being as a believer in Yeshua are to be sanctified? This question can be answered in two ways. All areas of our life are to be sanctified, and there are no areas of our life that are not to be sanctified. By using both of the positive and the negative aspects of this, we see that there is really no wiggle room for the believer. If indeed we are believers in Messiah, His sanctification should touch every area of our physical, emotional, psychological, and thought lives. There is no area of our life that should be hidden from the Master's touch. When did our sanctification begin, and who began it? Our sanctification began when we accepted Yeshua's gift of salvation. We were born again, a new creation, sealed by the Ruach HaKodesh. Sanctification is a process we read of in Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13. So then, my beloved, just have you as always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. How is our sanctification continued, and by whom? Again, let's go to our previous verse, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Listen carefully. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Did you notice that God is at work in us both to will and work for His good pleasure? However, it is you and I, as the beloved children of light, that are to obey and work out our salvation. We can do nothing on our own that brings about salvation, other than our acceptance of Messiah and His work on the cross for us. But we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Let's take a closer look at what this actually means. When Rabbi Shaul commends believers for their obedience, he is affirming their commitment to live the kind of life that corresponds to the gospel of Messiah by obeying Yeshua. Obedience is defined not in legal terms, but in relational terms as knowing Yeshua, being like Him, and serving Him. Shaul then moves from commending to commanding. As you have always obeyed, continue to work out your salvation. His commendation for past success is intended to motivate his friends to work even harder in the present and future. The implication is to continue to be obedient, and it brings out the sense of referring to something stated earlier in the discourse. In this sentence, it refers to continuing to obey and the imperative work out. As you have always obeyed, continue to work out. As you have run well, you must continue to run even better all the way to the finish line. As you are already marked by your courageous commitment to Messiah, you must continue to live out the meaning of that commitment in every area of our life. It is this long and continued walk of obedience to becoming more like Yeshua, which the mood of the world does so much to discourage. When the path of obedience to Messiah becomes steep and dangerous, pleasure seekers look for an easier way. Religious tourists hunting for sensational entertainment, instantaneous enlightenment, and emotional excitement will jump on the newest rides and take quick shortcuts, but they will not be found with pilgrims on the long, hard road following in the footsteps of Messiah, who is obedient to death, even death on a cross. Shaul's call to an unwavering, Messiah-like obedience will not be popular in a world that so highly values going fast and having fun and so quickly rejects enduring pain and submitting to authority. But the essential characteristic of the wise, who build their lives and community on Messiah, is their consistent obedience to Him. The way to continue obeying Messiah is to work it out. The imperative means to cause a state or condition, bring about, to produce, or create. A few examples will illustrate Shaul's use of this word. The law brings wrath, Romans 4:15. Suffering produces perseverance, Romans 5:3. Sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandments, produced in me every kind of coveting, Romans 7:8. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Rabbi Shaul uses this word to call his friends to bring about, produce, achieve, or to create something. The object he says that they are supposed to produce is our salvation. This is a surprise for anyone acquainted with Shaul's letters. Earlier in this letter, Shaul assures the reader that their salvation is God's work. You will be saved, and that by God. We found that in chapter 1, verse 28. He is consistent in his emphasis that salvation is not achieved by human work, but by God's grace. Salvation is not produced by works, but by faith in God. To anyone who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. Romans 4:5. Shaul views justification and salvation as results of faith. It is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Romans 10:10. Salvation is a gift received from God through Messiah. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. This is Rabbi Shaul's central thesis. How then can he command his friends to work out your salvation? In the light of Shaul's focus in this context on personal obedience to the Word of God, the command to work out your salvation is to be understood as to take whatever steps are necessary to remain in and grow in our walk, displaying the results of our salvation in our lives. Here again we see his name, Yehovah Mekodeshkim. Vayikra is the book that tells the children of Israel how to worship their God. Its theme is the sanctification of the people of God, a sanctification that affects the way they walk, the way they live, the way they worship. Redemption is not the end of us. Rather, if sanctification prepares us for glorification. Are we actively pursuing holiness? You might want to take a few moments when it's safe to do so and meditate on this question. In what ways are you pursuing holiness? You will want to think about the specific ways you're doing this. Ask Yehovah Mekodeshkim to reveal areas of our lives that we need to work on as we continue to pursue holiness. We should be making this a matter of prayer in our daily lives. Like David in Psalms 139, verse 23, "Know my heart and show me if there be any wicked way in me, so that we can continue our walk into maturity and likeness of Messiah." More questions that we need to ask ourselves is, can I really live a holy life apart from God's Word? Am I actively studying it and applying it to my life? In the past, what has prevented me from becoming involved in a personal or a group in-depth Bible study? Remember Rabbi Shaul's admonition to his son in the faith, Timothy, found in 2 Timothy 2:15? Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. And his further statements on the importance of the word to our lives, and this can be found in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. It is up to each individual believer to study the Word for himself and to apply its truths to our lives. This means that we are to study to show ourselves approved to God as workmen that does not need to be ashamed. We can sit under amazing pastors and teachers. We can listen to great sermons and teachings. We can read informative and motivating books and articles. But that does not relieve us of accurately handling the word of truth. We need to know for ourselves, through our personal studying of the word and the personal revelation of the Ruach HaKodesh, what the word of truth is. But our journey doesn't stop there. We can learn what the word of truth is, but our lives don't change. They aren't in the process of becoming sanctified if we don't apply the word of truth to our own personal lives. Is then that we can stand before our Yehovah Mekodeshkim and be approved as a workman or a laborer with Messiah and not be ashamed. Yehovah Mekodeshkim has said, "Thus you are to be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine." What will you say to him? Thank you for joining us today as we delved into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website, That's secTIM.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.